Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. We have present with us tonight, committee members Katie Capellini, Mark Hussman, Mark Lukey, and I'm Doug Hanem, I'm the chair of the committee. We also have council members Mary Westfall, Mark Frye, and Jason Mishko with us from the administration. We have Leslie Brinning, our law director, Bill Stanford, our economic development director, and Kevin Aller, who is, who does a lot of this stuff. Anyway, we also have a healthy attendance this evening, and we have the developer who intends to develop the property if the zoning amendment application ZA-1-2016 as passed by the planning commission gets approved or as we amend it. Let me just briefly remind everyone of where we are in the process here. We have a plan that has been to the planning commission, which has been approved and recommended to council under our charter and code. Council has a reasonable time to act on that recommendation. It would require a supermajority to change what the planning commission has proposed. So the plan as approved by the planning commission would require 4 votes of council to adopt it, adopt it as a zoning amendment. If we were to make changes, and there are currently changes which are proposed for the plan from what was approved by the planning commission, we would need at least 5 council members to support it. And if we were unable to generate 4 votes for either the plan as recommended by council, by the planning commission, or the amendment, then it would fail. I think our plan this evening is to review what has gone on since our last zoning and our last annexation and zoning committee meeting. We have had I think every member on council has had multiple meetings with neighbors, with the developer, with our staff, continuing to explore potential options for this property. And I think what we really want to do tonight is sort of give a status and what we anticipate will be going before council. By law, the recommendation of the planning commission has to be acted on by council. So that will happen. I think I'm assuming that we will be prepared to do that, to act on that recommendation on the 18th of July. Is that the right thing? Yeah, the 18th of July. And what I suspect will happen at that time is we will initially entertain an amendment to the plan that was approved by the planning commission. And we will take an up or down vote on that. And then we'll, if we do not have 5 votes for that amendment, then we will likely proceed to vote on the plan as recommended by the planning commission, which I wouldn't expect would have support of a majority of council. Anyway, just to review, I think this is the first public meeting we've had since our last zoning and annexation committee meeting. I think each member of council has participated in at least one meeting with residents on some residents on Appomattox and others since our last meeting. Now, we did not We did not public notice those meetings, but they were not the same meeting. They were just, I think they were appropriate meetings in terms of individual council members gaining additional information about the project and about the neighbors' objections and comments about those. And that goes as well for the discussions that the council members have had with the developer and with our administration people. But I think we have to have in large measure sort of reached the, or at least we're getting close to what I think is the end of this process. And what I'd like to do this evening is give Dave Schmidt an opportunity to sort of report to all of council and to the public where he thinks he is in terms of what he wants to present ultimately to council in terms of the amendment and the changes from the original proposal approved by the Planning Commission. And then I think we will refer the matter directly to council for their review and up or down vote. Before I do that, I want to give members of the committee an opportunity to comment on anything about this that they feel would be appropriate. I don't need to dominate this. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to kind of give a little context for the presentation by the developer tonight, if I could. First of all, I want to echo your sentiment that this whole process has been characterized by... I'll just step up a little closer. I think the whole process here has been characterized by good and active participation by the community and by citizens, and I think council appreciates that. I need to say that in my conversation with my fellow council members, our motivation through all of this process has been to address the concerns of the neighbors to the degree that we feel we can, and also make sure that the development meets the standards that are consistent with the Lincoln Woods and McCord Road neighborhoods. I also need to say that at least some of us have come to believe that it is not particularly practical or reasonable to think that this site will stay green space forever. The lots have already been assembled, they've been purchased, they've been consolidated into a single site. That means that someone, either the current developer or someone who buys the parcels, will build something. Some of us are concerned that if we don't approve this and move forward with some sort of reasonable plan, the site will revert to R1 status, which it is now. And as we have said before here, R1 requires virtually no oversight from the city or the citizens, right? If somebody wants to come in and build a larger number of one-family units on that site, that developer could do that. And I think a lot of the interest on the part of some council members, at least, is to see if we could come to some sort of a compromise that allows the project to move forward, but with standards that we can all accept. Doug mentioned the fact that we've all had an opportunity to meet with the neighbors on Appomattox. My turn was on Sunday night. It was a very positive and good discussion. I think I understand where the neighborhood is coming from. But I think we have got to a point where we started to talk about what would be acceptable if we moved the project forward. And the neighbors were very helpful in identifying five areas that I think they felt were critically essential for them if this were to happen. And I was able to take those to the developer, I think make the case to him, and I think he's here tonight to talk a little bit about what modifications might be made and what guarantees could be made if the project has enough votes to move forward. I think at the same time, Mr. Mishka was having some conversation with another set of neighbors, and I understand that he's been providing that input to the developer as well. So I certainly would think that we want to have other folks talk, Doug, but I think that's sort of a preamble for Mr. Schmidt to get up at some appropriate time and give us an update of, about where he is with his plan.
Anybody else on the committee have comments at this point, or anyone else on council? If not, David, the floor is yours. What do you, why don't you update us on where you are?
Well, as Mark and Doug indicated, most of the council members, I think, have met with the residents and passed their concerns on to me, which I've met with them myself and are aware of some of those concerns also. Basically, there's been a lot of changes that I've made to the site plan since the very beginning as it went through the process to try and make it better and make it, address some of the concerns that various entities have had throughout the city, whether it was zoning or engineering or plan commission or whatever. And so we've made a lot of changes already to the site. But I guess in terms of where we're at here today, there was a list of items that were still of concern to the neighbors that were brought to me, and I was asked if I could accommodate those. And basically, for the most part, I think I said yes, I could accommodate all those. So I'm going to kind of list them off, I guess. If anyone has any questions on them, please feel free. So the first one was setbacks has always been an issue. The residents on Appomattox were back in Lincoln Woods. As you know, R1, the setback that's required is 30 feet. Most of the villa developments that have been done are in the 20 to 25 foot range. We had proposed 25 feet. So that was an issue with one of them. So we've changed the rear yard setback along Appomattox to 30 feet so that it is now pretty much the same as the existing R1 zoning, which gives them, I think that's the largest setback that the city of Sylvania actually requires in any zoning district. So that was item one. We've talked about screening and landscape buffers before. So the second item was, I've already committed to do screening along the western property line. I guess they wanted to see if I could commit to a 10-foot wide landscape buffer, within that 30-foot rear yard, which I've agreed to do. We've also added, one of the major things that we've done is we had two family units backing up to the Lincoln Woods residence. There were four of them, and we eliminated those, and now actually have eliminated all the two family units around the perimeter of the site, so all the two family units are now in the center, which means that all the existing surrounding property owners are not backing up to any of the two family villas, which seems to be where most of the objection is. So we've added at the north and south end of Maddie Lane. At the end of the street, we had a 10 or 15 foot wide landscape buffer that the Plan Commission recommended, I think, or actually, I think it was engineering maybe recommended that we had put in. As part of the proposed revised site plan, we now have a 15 foot landscape buffer that goes not just at the end of the road, but all the way down to the western property line. I should probably give you one of these. I'm sorry. I brought one of these from the 20 and I forgot. George, did you bring it in?
Yeah.
You brought some. I've got them. There's a couple of good ones. Just if the residents want some.
George. Hey, George.
George.
It's a good one for the. No, no. Here, Chuck.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that, I meant to pass this out at the beginning. So, I do want to say, I guess, first of all, I had my engineer put this together just on literally a day's notice. So there may be a little bit of tweaking that needs to be done on it. Usually, when it comes back, there's some things that aren't quite right that I have to review and change, and I obviously didn't have time to do that with only a day's notice, but I did the best I could here on short notice. So, I guess what I was talking about is the landscape buffers at the north and south end of Matty Lane now. They're 15-foot wide that continue all the way back to the western property line. So that will enable us to effectively keep a lot more of the existing trees and foliage that's there as a landscape buffer. We've reduced the total that we, in putting the single units all the way around the perimeter instead of any of the two family, we've reduced the density by one unit. Moved all the two families to the interior of the site, as I said. We've reduced the number of two family units from 24 to 20. It had been brought up that that the residents were concerned about the owners of the single family villas being able to rent them down the road. So we've agreed to put language in the association documents to prohibit the owners of the single family villas from renting them. We added sidewalks to both sides of the street. That's kind of been an issue from day one. I really didn't think there was sidewalks necessary on both sides of the street, but we basically went ahead and put them on both sides of the street. And I was asked if we're going to try, I mean, as I've already stated, we're going to try and keep as many of the existing trees around the perimeter of the site as we can. I was asked if we would, if I would be willing to walk the site with a representative from the city of Sylvania, I think maybe the parks director, the forestry division director, and walk the site with him and try and identify which trees he thought were viable to keep and mark those so that we can, you know, try and keep as many of the existing vegetation and trees that we can. And let's see, there was one other thing, I can't think what it was here. I think there was also a question asked as to whether on the two family units we could require them to be 55 and older. I would prefer not to do that, but I am willing to do that if necessary. I don't know that everyone's in favor of that. I've been, since I talked to Mark regarding that one, some other members have expressed, I would say they would prefer not to have it over 55, but I'm flexible. I guess I can go either way on that. If that's, you know, something that, you know, that needs to be done, we can do it.
Dave, could you also talk about the nature of the buffering? I think we talked about some mounding and the tree plant.
Yeah, in the 10-foot landscape screening buffer, if you will, that we talked about putting in there, it would be a mound, whatever size mound we can get in 10 feet. And then in previous meetings, I think I've given you some pictures of what the screening looks like, but it basically would be pretty heavy screening with, you know, with pine trees wherever it would be necessary. As you get to either end of the site along the western property line, it's pretty heavily wooded, so, you know, there may not be as many pine trees required on those parts of the site as there would be in the middle. It seems to be a little thinner in the middle, so those would be heavily screened with pine trees that obviously then, you know, year-round have leaves on or green. And
what would the height of those trees be?
We generally try and stay in the 6 to 7 foot range to begin with. If you get up around 10 feet, we've had real poor success with survival rate on anything over about 7 feet. So they're not going to be 3 or 4 foot high. It would be 6 to 7 foot. You know, I'm guessing it's going to be a foot and a half to a 2 foot high mound is what the screening would be that we're proposing, anticipating. I think that's about it for the changes we've made. I mean, my understanding was that was a compromise that the residents, you know, to the west, you know, all of them, I guess, probably not all of them, I guess you can never have everybody happy, but at least the great majority of them, you know, would be satisfied with. I'm willing to make those changes, you know, if that's what it takes to move this forward.
Well,
I'm sorry. In the process of revising the site plan, there's also been a number of comments made because one of the roads were 25 feet wide instead of 27, we changed that, so they're all on 27 feet wide. Forgot about that. So I guess with that.
Before you sit down, you know.
Any questions, Jeff?
Yeah, I have, I think that, I have some heartburn with the 55 age limit. And if the concern, you know, I went back and looked through the comments, and the concerns seem to be focused primarily on concern regarding college students from Lourdes.
Correct.
Occupying those, and, but I'm a little, I'm reluctant to tell our young professionals who are moving into town that they can't live here. I'm reluctant to tell people who are in the midst of family changes, you know, that they can't live here. I would feel much better, much more comfortable with a, not opposed to an age limit, I'd feel much more comfortable with a 25-year-old cutoff rather than 55. That would allow my, the new lawyers that I hire and bring to town to live here. It would allow my next-door neighbor's son, who's 31, to live here. It would allow Jason to live here. And you wouldn't have any objection to that?
I wouldn't, I mean, I'm open to whatever, you know, city council, I guess, deems appropriate. As I've said before, I mean, our age group, I built a lot of these villas, I know what my demographic and my age group is. Most of our residents are going to be over 55, but we do get a handful of people in their 40s, late 30s that are divorced. We do get one or two sometimes young professionals, I mean, on the one development, we just had a girl that transferred in from China that I think was 30-some years old to work at one of the, you know, corporations here by herself that rented one, so. Yeah, it's not unheard of, I mean, we've never had any groups of kids running them out, but I understand the concern, so anything I can do to alleviate that concern, I certainly will.
And I'm assuming that if we could impose a 55-year-old age limit legally, we could impose a 25-year-old age limit.
Well, it's technically not the city doing it, it would be the same as the rental provision in the other single-family homes. Would this be included in the association documents?
I've never looked into it, I don't know legally if that's possible or not. I know that the legislation that's currently in place for over 55 communities was kind of put in place to, I want to say circumvent, I'm looking for the right word, so that you can't, you know, you're not allowed to discriminate because of age. So technically, without the 55 legislation that's in place, you wouldn't be able to prohibit anyone from any age from renting them. So I know there's legislation in place that allows you then to require it to be an over 55 community. Other than that, I can't, I don't know for sure if there's, if legally I can prohibit.
Well, I think you can put it into the,
If I can, I'm more than willing to do that, I'm just, I don't want to box myself in a corner on something I can't do legally. So, I mean, providing it can be done legally, I'm certainly willing to do that.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Sandy?
First of all, thank you, Dave, for working with us so diligently. Thank you, Dave, for working with us so diligently to come up with a plan that answers so many of our citizens' concerns. I do want to make sure, though, that we haven't lost any positives in addressing all of these issues. It seems like we've, you didn't get any more space, so what had to give to make the roads wide, to make the buffers, the setbacks wide? What?
What did I get?
Yeah, I know you're good, but I don't know about the magic of the numbers here.
Yeah, I have to credit my engineer with that.
Okay.
know, and we basically had to move the, we had to move the road to the west about 6 feet farther to the east, which increased the size of those lots from 106 feet to 112. What that does, to be honest with you, is it makes the area we had planned for stormwater detention a little smaller. You don't get into doing those calculations until a little bit further down the road. So according to my engineer, it's possible that if we don't have enough stormwater retention, we may have to eliminate one of those lots to accommodate it. So obviously, you know, he was comfortable we had enough before. Now, you know, in his words, it's tight. So until you actually do the calculations and the engineering, it's impossible to know exactly what you need in the way of stormwater retention. But if we end up needing more than we have, we're going to have to eliminate one of the lots. The road being 25, you know, the road being 25 feet wide versus 27 was really just a 2 foot change. So we adjusted basically the backyards of the two family units that are facing each other in the center to make that a little less. Doesn't affect any of the other lots or the perimeter of the homeowners or anything else. In revising the two family units along the back and eliminating those and making them all single family along the western property line, that freed us up about 30 feet or so. And originally my engineer suggested we just make all those lots a little bigger. Instead, I suggested that we make keep the lots the same size as far as width goes, and we would then be able to have a 15 to 20 foot wide buffer on each end, which I think really like and was hoping the residents would like too. So I guess those are probably the major changes that, you know, we made to squeeze everything out of it that we did.
And the sidewalks.
Oh, and added the sidewalks, yeah. And that was, you know, the sidewalks are just something that honestly, in going through the, you know, the plan commission and the engineering department, we had worked out and everyone was comfortable with sidewalks around the perimeter. We originally started with no sidewalks, and you know, as we went through the process, more, you know, the plan commission engineering wanted to see sidewalks, so we worked out a compromise where we put them all the way around the side. It was never that we couldn't do them, I just thought that they really weren't needed, and aesthetically it would be nicer not having them, but it was never a big deal. I said all along, if they want sidewalks, I'll put sidewalks in, so that's what we did.
Well, I don't have sidewalks in front of my house, and I kind of like it that way, that if that answers some people's concerns, then I guess we have to do them on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, so. I heard a lot of comments on it, and I can't say I disagree with some of them. I mean, as I told, you know, a lot of people, I've done quite a few of these developments. I've got two or three of them that are a layout similar to this, meaning that it's kind of a U-shape or a big circle or a big rectangle with sidewalks. I drive through them all the time. Every time I drive through them, everybody I see, and a lot of our residents do walk, they're all walking in the street. They all walk the street. I don't know if it's because they want to walk three wide or because there's just not a lot of traffic, but, you know, that's the reality of it. But
anyways, thank you very much for coming up with this plan and working, as I said, so diligently with us to get to this point.
Well, thanks, yeah. It's been a lot of work, and honestly, I have to credit a lot of the council people, too, because I know they put in a lot of trying to work out and, you know, compromise and do what we can to address all the concerns.
Any other member of council have questions for Dave? I think David, thank you. We'll take we have some time. I guess we'll take some additional public comments if folks have comments. I know you haven't seen the plan. One of the reasons we're, just so you know what would happen after tonight, what I anticipate is working with our law director to prepare the legislation that would incorporate the revised development plan along with, and we'll have to work with Dave to make sure that we have, that we get the representations that we've heard tonight, make sure that we have those right and have those incorporated into the legislation, into the, what we actually approve. And then we will have a vote once we get the legislation put together on the 18th. So, any other comments from some or all of you. If you have a comment, step forward, identify yourself, and fire away. Yes, sir.
Comments from here or there?
From here. So, we can hear you.
Hello, my name is Dr. Bremeroff. I'm an ophthalmologist here in Pennsylvania. I live on Todd Drive. I was the very first home that went on the Todd Drive in 1978. I don't know if I speak for everyone in Lincoln Woods area, but I think I speak for many that you know, we all have put a lot of investment into our homes. We have a beautiful neighborhood. And one thing that is in all of our minds is our property values. And it's certainly been my experience that when you have rental units going in, it gives the potential and the perception of someone that may want to buy my home eventually, that they don't want to live in an area that has rental units. I've seen the space over there, and I'm glad something's going in because it's sort of semi, I don't want to say blighted, but it certainly isn't pretty to look at over there. So I'm very happy that Mr. Schmidt is thinking of putting something in. It would be, I just think it's awfully high density for that amount of space compared to the whole vicinity of Lincoln Woods. You know, we're a very spacious neighborhood and spacious properties. And I personally have no objections to something going in there. I'm sure it would be very nice. I do object to having this high a density of units going in. I'm firmly against rental properties. If there were, I would certainly be in favor of what Mr. Schmidt proposed, which would be 55 and older, because I appreciate your comments, Mr. Heyman, that you know, you'd want a 31-year-old or a recent person that had a lifestyle change, or someone who is just transient who's a professional. But not all people are professionals. Not all people are recent change of life type people. And anytime you have rentals, there's people of all persuasions of lifestyles, so to speak, that may not fit the typical lifestyle of where we live. And I certainly don't want to see the safety of our neighborhood compromised. We live in a very safe area. We have a wonderful police force that's always so attentive to us. So, again, as I say, I haven't been to any of the meetings. I've been out of town quite a bit lately. And this is the first meeting I've attended, so I hope I'm not being redundant from what's being said before. But my two main objectives are, one, the very high density of this neighborhood in our area, and two, having rental units, period. I just really hope that these could be single unit properties. I'm sure it'll be beautiful when it gets done. I really appreciate the necessity of having those landscape buffer zones. So, in summary, I am firmly against rental properties, and secondly, I wish it wasn't as high density as I see in the proposed plan. Any questions? Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm Debbie Solomon, and we've lived in the Lincoln Woods area for years, left, and now we're back, and we're in Callaway Green. And I have issues like the rest of them with the rental. That is the biggest problem, and I think there's a problem with safety if there's too many houses for the kids. And I know I've probably been redundant because I haven't been here either. But I just think it's not good for our housing. And it's not good for our school system. We get too many kids, and we don't need more kids in our schools. We're going to get more naturally. But to be able to have rentals where they can have kids and put more kids in our schools without having the taxes for them, I have a real problem with that. My question is, because I wasn't here, what are the sizes of the homes or condos, whatever they are, and what kind of quality are they going to be?
Dave, you want to talk about that? I mean, we have talked about this, Doug.
Yeah, well, I figured you have, but I haven't.
And I think for the vast majority of us, I mean, They're high qual, it's a high-quality unit, high-quality development. And you know, if you took a little Google Earth picture of McCord, you are surrounded by rental properties right now. If you don't look at just who's living next door to you, up and down McCord, on Brent, on Sylvania, you are surrounded by rental properties.
Well, and there's a lot. We don't need any more.
Well, the point is that, you know, not everybody has the capital to buy properties. And a lot, and particularly young people, young professionals, people who are going through lifestyle changes, don't have the capital to buy my house.
Right.
Okay? And I could rent my house to anybody I want. Okay, now what we've tried to address that by limiting that. But, and I will also tell you that, you know, talking with Chief Rodas, you know, these rental properties in this part of the town, you know, they are not problems. They are not problems from a public safety standpoint. These are well-maintained units with good, solid citizens who are making a life in our community. I talked with Jason earlier today. You know, when he first came to town, he rented here in Sylvania. When I first came to Toledo, I rented in units that were in Toledo at that time, very comparable to these. You know, I bring lawyers to town that are, frankly, making a lot more than the average Sylvanian who would be very interested in this kind of housing. So I don't subscribe to this prejudice against renters. I just don't think it's appropriate, and it's not consistent. Let me finish, Deb. And it's not consistent with any demographic or any experience that we've had in the community. In fact, I will tell you, during my 13 years on working with zoning and annexation, the problem aren't renters. They're the single-family homeowner who loses a job, who goes through a life change, or who just, for whatever reason, doesn't value taking care of their property. The zoning problems we have in Sylvania aren't with rentals. They're with single families. They're with single family housing. So, but I understand that there's a lot of people here who don't like the idea of rentals. The fact is, that the rentals that are in this area are well maintained and occupied by people who are not presenting, a greater safety threat or behavioral threat to our community. And these will be high end rentals, no matter where they are.
Yeah, if I may, I think there are some folks here who have not been to one of these meetings before, so it might be helpful if Mr. Schmidt could step up and talk about the sizes of both the villas and the apartments and the rental amount on the apartments, and the proposed sale prices on the villas. I think that's an important fact. So, Dave,
it's our property.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I was talking with Ms. Westfall just before we came over here, and all of us on council, I think, have seen more villas and villa developments and apartments in the last month, because, you know, we've done our due diligence and we kind of understand what the market is. So, Dave, could you talk a little bit about that? Maybe come up to the mic.
And I don't compare to what other developments are.
Because
it's
pretty expensive.
Yeah.
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 Well, I guess as far as the other developments, I think we kind of have a list of those. I mean, I'm assuming she's talking about the villa developments. So right now, currently, we are doing the Brookwood Villas up in Temperance, Michigan, and we're doing the Pine Tree Villas up in Sylvania. We're also building in Perrysburg in the villas, the village of Hull Prairie. Those would be the villa developments that I currently have going. Ones that we've done in the past would be Marble Cliff at the corner of King and Brand, the Crystal Water Villa project up in Temperance, Michigan off of Douglas Road, the Edgebrook Villas over off of Holland-Savania, just south of Central, and the Birchwood Hollow Villas, which are out in the Rossford area, just off of Wales Road. So we've done a lot of different villa developments. We currently have two villa rental projects that we're doing. One is in Temperance, Michigan, and we've got about 36 of those done, and another 54 under construction. And then we have another villa rental project over on Bancroft that we're just about to break ground on. So, you know, I guess I've got pictures, I think, that I passed out before. Obviously, she wasn't here, but we've got some pictures of the various villas and the villa rentals that we're doing. So, figure those out, who's seen or who hasn't. These would be the single freestanding villas. That's typical of what they would look like. This is a picture of the two family villas that would be the rentals. They do rent in the $1,500 to $1,700 a month range. I guess I'd like to address the rental thing. That seems to be what everyone's against. You know, I just got a report from our property manager on Michigan on what we've rented so far. I think 34 out of 36 units. You know, our average age is right around 60. He broke it down by 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80. Those three categories comprised about 85% of the rentals. We had, when you got to the 40 to 50 range and you got to the 70 to 80 range or the 80 to 90 range, it dropped off substantially. So that's kind of the heart of what our villa rental customer is. These are people that most of them, to be honest with you, are renters by choice. I mean, I'm sure there's some of them that may rent if they're young professionals that are just coming to the area, don't know what they want to buy, or possibly don't have the money for a down payment now. But most of our renters are over 55. There's a huge demand right now for that category of renter. I'm not really sure why. I don't understand it totally myself, but more and more people over 55 are opting to rent instead of buy. And, you know, they're fully capable of buying. They just decide they don't want to deal with it. But in the $1,500 to $1,700 a month range, I mean, you're not getting undesirable tenants. You know, these people, you know, have means. They have a good income. We've never had, you know, anyone, like I said, you know, where we've got three or four kids renting them together. I think it's just out of their price range. There's a need, a really strong need for this type of housing. I mean, in the pamphlet the packet that I gave to council, I think, you know, there was a summary in there of probably 10 other rental villa developments in the Toledo area that have gone in. There's a couple of them in Perrysburg Township, Oregon, Bedford, Monclova, Maumee. There's one in Sylvania Township. There's one everywhere but the city of Sylvania, quite honestly. And there's big demand for them, and these tenants are not what everyone, I guess, would associate with your normal apartment complex. I think, you know, people, the minute they hear renters, they associate it with your typical apartment complex that was built in the 70s. It's 2-3 stories high and has a sea of parking and a lot of lights and swimming pool and a lot of young kids that rent them. That's not what these are at all, and they never will be. I mean, they're just basically not that, they're not set up that way. And obviously, at $1,500 to $1,700 a month, I mean, it's pretty limited as to what kids would be able to afford.
Could you talk about the single families? What are they going to look like? What are they going to go for?
Yeah, the single family units are going to sell for the 250 to 300 range. Our starting point would be about 250 to 260, depending on what options they go with. You know, whether they do a basement or not, or whether they do granite countertops and, you know, upgraded flooring determines, I guess, whether they end up at 250 or in the 300 range. They're about 1,800 to 2,200 square feet. You know, they're nice looking. They're the same units that my partner built over in Palisades, and you know, they're what people want nowadays. I mean, he was very successful with that project, which is in Sylvania. and he's pretty much sold out, so.
Palisades is off of Little.
Off of Little Road, which runs.
Near Centennial, right.
Near Centennial Quarry.
Right.
The two family villas that we're renting are the same villas that I'm currently building over in Pine Tree that are selling for about $180,000, so they're not cheap by any means either. They're really nice, you know, well-kept, and attractive from the outside, I guess. That's all I can tell you about my thing. I don't think at the end of the day, 5 years from now, anyone is going to say they object to the way they look or the people that are in there.
Thank you. Deb, we want other comments, yes?
Yeah, any other comments? Thank you, Brian.
Hi, Brian Curtis, 4334 Appomattox. Nice to see all of you again. Most of the council people, I applaud for taking the time to come to my house and meet with us and discuss these very issues. And I guess I commend so far Dave for meeting a lot of the requirements that we brought up. I think there might be a couple that we want to highlight here that may not be covered at this point. One is, I think the restriction on the renters be 55 plus. I think you feel strongly about that. Mr. Schmidt said that he can rent to people that age. He basically doesn't have a problem filling those rental units that way. I feel a lot better if they're there at all that they have somebody in them that's 55 plus, because I know what happens when you're 30 or 20 or whatever would go in there, and that would be a provision we understand that would stay with that property forever, as far as I know. That's what we're assuming anyway. So,
Leslie, if 55 plus provision goes
into the homeowners association document.
Does that follows?
Correct.
If it reverts to a different owner, correct?
Correct. That stays with the property forever, unless, I mean, at some point they could vote to amend those documents, but that's unlikely. Once the homeowners association documents are in place, those typically remain unchanged for the duration of development.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's what we want. In terms of the association, by the way, that hasn't been discussed a lot in most of our meetings, and I assume that he would have an association. I know sometimes the director of the association can change. Maybe it's controlled better by some managers than others. But we're assuming that all the properties will be taken care of correctly, and all grass will be cut, roads will be plowed, etc., just like the city would do, or we would do in our own yards. So I'm assuming that the association would be there and operational and functional and would perform, you know, accordingly.
That's correct. Even though it's part of a homeowners association, it still has to meet the requirements of our zoning code as well. So if a property wasn't being mowed, we would go in and mow it and assess the property owner.
We know that there's some downsides to R1PD, but one of the good sides, I guess, that we've learned over the course of the past few months is that it gives people like us that have concerns the ability to lock in the design so that he cannot change the design, alter it. The plans will be the plans, and they will be followed to the letter. So anything on there, any dimensions, any buildings will be built the way they're shown. Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. All of us are concerned about property values, especially since we've all been through the economic, downturn. We're just getting back above, 200,000, and most of them on our street. So I know too well that the last thing I want to see is a $155,000 unit being built next door, because it's going to take the average value down, and just at a point when things are coming up. So his intent to put in 250 to 300,000 to to me is a splendid idea, as long, and we haven't seen many plans on those. We've seen the pictures, but we haven't seen the design, you know, shapes of rooms and things and the amenities inside, such that they're going to be in that 300 range. So right now, I don't know if the R1PD would include some kind of design drawings that would show the interior and the amenities that would make it a $300,000 unit. In other words, I wouldn't want something that's the shape on the plans, but it turns out to be $150,000 or something, you know, on sale.
Do we require that?
Property values are, as you know, hard to mandate and require, and especially when you're talking about interior amenities. We can require certain materials be used on the exteriors, but as far as requiring granite, you know, things that would provide a $300,000 property value, that's well beyond my knowledge. you know, I can guess, but I don't know. I mean, we'd have to get an expert to require that, and I don't think that that's that's a tougher one to address.
Let me suggest this, Brian. If you really are concerned about this, do what I did. I drove out to the Palisades, which he's developing with a partner, right?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, is that a comparable?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Go out to the Palisades. I did that. The model home, when I was out there, the door was open, so I let myself in and walked around, and I think you get a pretty good sense of the quality that he's looking for. I was impressed, quite honestly, and this was early in the process, but I think that he can provide you with comparable developments that he's done or that others have done, and if you're concerned, I think you should go look around. I don't necessarily anticipate that we get a bait and switch at this point in the process.
I guess lastly, I talked to Chief Jeff Kowalski, asked him to come tonight, maybe give us some input on safety in terms of the fire department's view of things, in terms of how the fire department views the shape, length, arrangement on the plans of these particular roads and how he would service these new tenants in these villas. As well as make a comment about cul-de-sacs and some of the rumors we've heard about them, and kind of set the record straight on that. So if we have time, I'd like him to come up either now or...
He had to leave, but he did say that the 27-foot width of the road was acceptable.
Okay. That's good. I noticed it got wider, so that's good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Chuck Barchek. I live at 4326 Appomattox. And first of all, I want to thank all the council people that met with us and listened to what our requests were, what our concerns were. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here tonight, that this plan that Dave has submitted tonight shows villas on the south side, villas on the west side, villas on the north side. And those will all be, excuse me, single family. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay.
That's my understanding.
All the rental properties would be in the center.
Do you have a copy of
that? We've got one here. I just want to make sure that we're, all the rental properties would be in the center. The green space, to me, is a big concern. I know people... back up on the south side from Victoria Cross, there's a lot of green space there. We have some on the southwest corner where we're at. I know on the northwest corner there are a lot of very big mature trees, and there's some stuff that comes across the north side there a little bit. And this is not just to the developer, I think this is a plus. I think you have to take that into consideration with the backyard being so tight. Myself, in the building business, first thing everybody does is look out the back door, it's going to be And I think it's a plus for the developer. I think it's a plus for the neighborhoods. I think it's a plus for the city of Sylvania. One thing that Mary had mentioned way back, wanted to do what was the best for the city of Sylvania. And you ought to see the colors there in the fall, and there are probably a good 30 mature trees. I know we won't be able to save them all, but it'd be nice if we could save a few of them anyway. I think it'd be a big plus for David, the developer. Plus, there's some cost in taking that stuff down, so he doesn't have to spend the money on it. So we are looking out here for you a little bit. So, I'm assuming, Dave, you would run the homeowners association. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. The way that works is the homeowners association is run by me until all of the single families are sold, and then they take over the association as far as the single family goes. I would, yes, continue to run the association on multifamily.
Okay. One other thing that I would like to see here, just different color schemes on your rental properties, just so when somebody goes down the road, it's not all tan, or, you know, mix them up a little bit. The roof pitches would be a concern. I'd like to see at least a minimum 612. I think what you showed us here is probably that plus, so that's a good thing. The only other, you know, we talked about screening and fences. You know, other than the density is always going to be the issue here, and I don't know, you know, what can really be done with that, because you've done a lot of things here to try and satisfy our requests here. So I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the 200 plus people that, you know, signed the petition. But it's not 100% what I'd like myself, but I think we're going in the right direction, I guess, is the word I want to say or the comment I want to make. So thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
Again, I appreciate all your hard work, both you guys and the developer, in trying to satisfy all our concerns. Mel Solomon, One Dollar Green. The one concern that I have, and it's not, I'm not trying to chastise anybody, but I've made some complaints to the city director of streets or whatever you call it, about some people's housing as far as cutting the grass and garbage in and around their homes, and it doesn't seem like it's really taken too much effect. The one thing that comes to my mind real right now is, and I'm not trying to blame our mayor, but from what I understand, where our mayor lives, there's a house right next door to him, if I'm not mistaken, that is a trash pile. And nobody seems to give a hoot about taking this person to task and get it straightened out. And there's other houses that I can tell you with addresses, if you care, I guess. We need to do something about this. We want our city to be a nice looking city, and somebody needs to be talked to and given a say, you know, clean it up or something's going to happen. Thank you.
And Mel, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, those are the parcels that there are people who just don't. You know, our biggest problem are bad neighbors.
Right.
You know, and I know Kevin and his staff and the zoning folks talk to people every day about property maintenance. And we have had we've had a few occasions where we've gone to court with mixed success.
Right.
A lot of times when people aren't taking care of their personal property, or when they're not taking care of their real estate, it's because of personal issues in their life.
Financial and other
issues.
Sure, right.
those are difficult to address. legally. You know, and we try and bring as much, I know our zoning inspector talks to people every day and cajoles them to take care of the properties. And frankly, he's successful a lot. The ones that stand out, believe me, we know about them. We do know about them. And, but I'll also tell you that I think we've, our experience is that the legal hurdle, the lack of care hurdle that we have to get over to address these legally, not where you or I would ideally set it, but it is the reality.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I, you know, I understand there are a lot of people been through what I call a lot of problems. In the recent future.
And we have parcels in Sylvania that are maintained entirely by their neighbors. I mean, we've got parcels where neighbors are taking care of the property because either the homeowner can't or won't.
Right.
It's not that we're unaware. Mm-hmm. It's that there's really only so much we can do.
I understand.
Okay.
Do some more.
Keep plugging away.
Yeah.
I promise. Any other comments?
John Bowers, I live on Victoria Court. I understand that the areas to be irrigated, mowed, lawns. I'm curious about the irrigation and how that will be handled. Is it going to be on city water or is it going to be by well? If it's by well, what will happen to the water level? And I'm sure there's a few other people over here that have wells, shallow wells. It certainly must affect that. The other problem is traffic on the Cord Road, pedestrian traffic. I usually take my little log out for a walk on the Cord. It's a dangerous place. Bicyclists approach from the rear. You can't hear them. I think they all ought to be required to have a little bell. And you, but there's going to be a lot of old people out there walking.
John, I'll tell you that bicycles are not supposed to be on sidewalks.
But they are.
I know.
It's better than being in the street. But I've been surprised more than one time that a bicycle 2 feet behind me.
Our legislation is clear that they are not to be on sidewalks. And we don't want bicycles on sidewalks. That's not what they're there for. We have bike paths. We have established bike paths all over town, specifically to accommodate bike traffic. But again, that's one of the, you know, it's like speeding laws. Okay, we establish, we pass speed limits, but the biggest problem we have with traffic in Sylvania is people who don't know who exceed the speed limit. And I would suggest that there isn't anyone here that isn't guilty of that.
Doug, just a second. Yes. We didn't really answer the question about the wells. And as a point well owner, I'm curious about that too, sir. Are we going to use city water for the sprinkler system or wells? City water. Okay. That's a good answer, isn't it, sir? Yeah, good. All right.
Another comment?
Well, I have a question, actually.
Okay.
My name's Doug Cronin.
Doug Cronin.
I was just wondering about the entrance steps along McCord. I assume you're going to have the retention ponds out front there.
Correct.
And you're going to have a mounting out there. Setback, how far of the setback is going to be up McCord Road? And that's
there's a right-of-way requirement that we have to increase in that.
Right.
We have to increase the right-of-way from 30 feet to 50 feet.
Back to Sheriff's Court?
No, from the sidewalk already exists on McCord, and then behind that, there's a 25-foot building line. Within that 25 feet, we'll have landscaping as well as part of the detention. Our anticipation is that the detention will be relatively shallow, and that because of the fact that it's sandy soil, extremely sandy soil, the water will not stand in that pond anyway, unless you used a sealer.
Is it just going to be one side of this entrance, or do you have one on each side?
There'll probably be across the front and between the apartment units.
It hasn't been designed yet, so it's...
But it's going to be a significant setback.
It has to be city of Sylvania specification. They will be dry pond. They will be dry detention areas, not wet detention areas.
Kind of like the detention area across from Waterford Bank.
That's a little deeper.
But
I'd be dry. All right, thank you. Thank you, Council. Thank you. My name is Wally Barber. I live at 1609 Gainesville Drive. The builder here mentioned that the HOA, when he gets done with all the building and all the places are sold, he will turn it over to the residents. I have lived, or my wife and I have lived in Lincoln Woods since 1968. We're the first house of the third section of Lincoln Woods. I have restrictions at home that were printed back in 1968, detailing everything. No basketball rims in the front yards, no swimming pools, and a few other things. As you well know, some of you who live on Appomattox, from 1968 to whenever they finished with Appomattox, was many years later, Mr. Reynolds came to us one time and said, okay, guys, take over. Well, at that time, there were a high percentage of basketball courts in the front yards. At my house, I put a 20-foot basketball court in my backyard because that was restrictions at the time. I honored them. Many, many people, if you go up and down Lincoln Wood streets now, do not honor them. Even some of them are lined up on the street. Kids play in the street with the basketball courts. There are now swimming pools in the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. What is there when a builder says, okay, I'll run the HOA until I sell all the places, which is what Mr. Reynolds told us. When he came to us, he didn't even take care of the ones when he was still had control. He did not do any of it. So what's there to say the homeowners have to do it, or it just goes to you nowhere? Question about the HOA. And from our experience with the HOA, from our time in Lincoln Woods, and I'm one of the originals, there's very few of us left there from those years. I've seen this progression all the way through. Thank you.
Leslie, my understanding is those legal obligations remain.
That's correct. They do remain, but as with anything, it's up to the Homeowners Association to enforce them. So if they're not being...
Or an individual can enforce.
Right, absolutely. The property owners can enforce.
You can enforce those.
Correct.
Dave had a comment.
Yeah,
Dave. I did want to say, my experience...
What? If you're going to talk, you're going to talk to the microphone.
I just want to say, in my experience, there's a huge difference between a single-family subdivision. Their homeowners associations tend to not be very active on a lot of them. So the enforcement is very lax, and there again, as I've been saying all along, single-family homeowners are a little bit more harder to control. If you go through any of the villa developments that I've done or that other people have done in the area, and you look at the communities, these people are, meticulous about how their community is maintained. If there's someone that's a basketball hoop up there, the association is like right on it. The villa communities, because they take care of the yard care and the snow removal and the common areas and the landscaping, are much, much more active, and I've really never seen one that really was, not really well cared for. I mean, I've actually taken a couple of them over, one in particular that I think I mentioned, that sat there for 4 or 5 years, going through the bankruptcy process that the bank had, and there were some people, that had a trailer in the yard that they shouldn't have and that type of thing. once I got involved, I mean, the residents, that was the first thing they wanted me to take care of was, you know, to enforce the regulations. So, I mean, these type of village communities, if you really drive around and look at them, you'll see they're all very well, you know, maintained. And the rules are adhered to, they really are. They're not lax on them.
Dave, I think you're saying because there's more obligations to the HOAs where they have to take care of the sidewalks and all of that, so there's, it's more active.
It's much more.
And I think the older neighborhoods like I live in, et cetera,
yes,
they kind of just peter out through the years.
Yeah, a typical single-family neighborhood, the associations, sometimes their sole responsibility is to take care of the little entryway sign, and there's just not a lot of participation or activeness going on within some of these single-family communities, honestly, whether they're older or whether they're newer, but the villa communities, they're very active, and they are very aware of everything that goes on, and nothing pretty much gets by them. So, anyway, thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, I'm sorry. Sure.
Shannon Sapersky, I'm at 4605 Weldwood in Lincoln Woods. I just wanted to, I guess, say that not everyone in our neighborhood is against the rentals. I grew up in Sylvania, and I grew up in rentals. And they didn't cause any trouble, I'll tell you that much. Renters, you know, right now I have lots of friends who are renters in Sylvania. My kids' friends are renters. It's just, I'm honestly, like, hearing some of the comments, I'm more concerned about more single family houses that would maybe have some more people with shallow comments to make. I'm a little more afraid of that at this point. But it was just really disheartening to hear that. And so if you want to talk about renters, you have to talk about it afterwards.
I want to thank I think the community has been, I've been very impressed with the civility of the debate and the quality of the debate. The input has been valuable. However this turns out, I think I've been very pleased with the process. I hope that you all feel like you've been heard and considered. Even if we haven't done everything exactly the way you would like, we have tried to be very respectful of the input that we've had, and we'll make a decision. That's what we're here for. As council members, we're here to represent the more than 18,000 residents in the city, including the runners and the homeowners and business people, and we're very interested. I can tell you, having served on this council for 13 years, that the people who are up here are motivated by one thing and one thing only, and that is that we're very interested in the city of Sylvania being a good place to live and work, raise a family, to spend a lifetime, or to spend some portion of your life here. And there isn't a single person up here who's motivated by any financial interest in any of this, including being on council. But we really do appreciate your input, and we hope that that you'll feel comfortable talking to us about anything that we do up here. The one last thing that I want to talk about before we talk about the rest of the process, I know I've had a lot of comments about the school crossing issue, and I talked today again with the principal at McCord, and come the middle of August when school resumes, we will we will respond to those comments and those problems and see if we can't correct them. I think the comments that we had in the first public hearing from the school district were news to all the council members. We spent, this council invested time and effort and went out and got grants to promote a Safe Routes to School program. And I think we were all disappointed to hear what we heard. And we were going to, I'm confident that our administration is going to respond to those comments and that we will do, we will see better results in August when we go back to school. With that, any other comments from council members? If not, I'll just briefly, again, how I think this process will go forward. We've heard from Dave today what his proposal is, what his best proposal is. I'm going to work with Leslie, with our law director, to make sure that we adopt and that we propose legislation. I don't know that we will adopt it or not, but we're going to propose legislation that will include those commitments into the plan. And then on the 18th, we have a recommendation from the Planning Commission. We will entertain an amendment to the Planning Commission approval. We are required by charter and our code to vote that up or down. We will probably vote up and down first on the amendment with the changes along the lines that Dave has proposed, and we'll take it from there. So again, that will be on the 18th. I don't anticipate any additional activity with regard to that other than the drafting of the legislation, which is the kind of thing that lawyers love and everybody else hopes we get it right, and we'll get it right. I'm comfortable with that.
Doug, in that regard, our drafting sometimes by necessity is sort of last minute, and I wonder if we could ask the administration to draft that in time for the public to see copies of what's going to be proposed. I just would hate to have them show up the night of without having seen it. Is that something that we could ask them to do?
I'm willing to work with Leslie on it right away.
It'll be available when council packets are put together the Friday before the meeting.
So we could make it available to the public at that point as well, right?
Mm-hmm. It'll be on the website.
On the website?
Yeah. It'll be on the website then.
On the Friday before?
On the Friday before.
Okay.
So that's the, what, is that the 15th? 15th. For those of you that don't know, on the City of Sylvania webpage, if you go to government and click on council, there's another place where you can click and see our schedule, and with the schedule, our agendas. There's minutes of our past meetings, but there are also agendas from our past meetings, and in this case, for on the 15th, there will be an agenda for the meeting on Monday in its entirety, exactly what we called our council packet, what we get hand-delivered to us on Friday. It's available online for you all to look at. All right, with that, I'll entertain a motion to recommend that we refer the zoning amendment application ZA-1-2016 to council for response to the Planning Commission recommendation.
And that has to be a member of the committee, right?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
And members of the committee are Katie, Sandy, Mark, and I. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We will refer it to council on the 18th. Thank you all for coming. I'll now entertain a motion to adjourn. Mark? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We stand adjourned.